Amen. Let's give him the glory. Amen.
Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation His empire shall bring, and joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring that we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. For His returning we watch and we pray. We will be ready the dawn of that day. We'll join in singing with all the redeemed. If Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King, come, let us sing a song. Declaring that we belong to Jesus. He is all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. Come, let us sing a song. A song declaring that we belong. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King.
Praise God. Yes.
Amen.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the one who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our rescuer,
hey!
He's our rescuer. Free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound.
Hey,
oh, how grace abound.
Hey,
we will praise the Lord, our rescuer. He is beauty for the blind man, riches for the poor. He is friendship for the one the world ignores. He is pasture for the weary, rest for those who strive. Oh, the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life. Yes, the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life. He's our rescuer.
Hey,
He's our rescuer.
Hey,
we are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound.
Hey,
oh, how grace abound.
Hey,
we will praise the Lord, our rescuer. So come and be chainless, come and be fearless, come to the foot of Calvary. There is redemption for every affliction here at the foot of Calvary. Come and be chainless, come and be fearless, come to the foot of Calvary. There is redemption for every affliction here at the foot of Calvary. He's our rescuer. Lord, our rescuer. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're thankful that we can trust in him to rescue us. Amen. As we continue with worship, if you have an offering you'd like to give today, we'll do it during this next song. You're welcome to come. And just bless the Lord with your giving. And we're thankful that we have that privilege. I know many of you use the online opportunities as well. We're thankful that we can give and just support God in our tithes and our offerings. And let's just pray for his blessing to flow. We need his provisions to accomplish his will. And I know that you've been so thankful, or faithful. There we go. So faithful. And thank you for that. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful that we can give. We're thankful that we can trust you and that we're able to be a part of the big mission, whether it's the mission field across seas, or whether it's here in our own state, or whether it's here in our own neighborhood, in our own communities. We're thankful that we can support your work. Just pray a blessing on each and every one who's able to give today in Jesus' name. Amen.
The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the King comes through the gate. Happy faces line the hallways. Those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended. Those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand and all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstand's all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Praise God, he's coming for me.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe.
Hallelujah.
Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring declare the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, you own the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. You are my living hope.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In the darkness you were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth is old, shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. Praise forever to the King of kings. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O
voices only.
I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. I exalt, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Lord, we do exalt your name today. We do it with song. We do it with our instruments. We do it from our heart of hearts. We join together as one, as you have bound us together by your Spirit. We all here serve the same living Lord. We are one, as you are one. May we do more than sing a song to show our love, our honor, our appreciation. May we exalt you, Lord, in every way that is possible, with how we handle circumstances that don't go our way, with how we handle those things when we come out on top as the so-called winner. May we show our exaltation of you. May you work through our lives, Lord, as we trust in you, as we bless your name by giving you our whole heart. In everything we do, everything we say,
yes,
all that we are yours. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us first.
Yes.
And for giving us the blessing to love you back. We bless your name.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you for speaking to us today.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you as you're seated.
This morning in our Sunday school class, we were going through the beginnings of the kings that served in Israel and in Judah later on as those two nations, one nation became two, and how those things were established. And of course, the people asked for a king, and Saul was the one that was picked by God and Samuel anointed. But there came a time when he did not fulfill what God had commanded him to do, and he was punished for it. And his excuse was, Lord, I was just going to use these things to honor you and bless your name by offering a sacrifice upon an altar. I kept the livestock, the best of the best, those especially without blemish, because I was going to bless your name through a great offering and a sacrifice. And of course, the prophet who was angry at him because he had disobeyed God said these famous words. They were to, oh, come on now. These are famous words. I'm sure online they're shouting right now. To obey is better than sacrifice. There we go. That's it. And we didn't have a chance to bring that out in the lesson. Thank you, Ann, for sharing that with us. We're thankful for that. Relief. Whoo! Everybody wipe your brow. You're not on the spot. Why do I think of this? Because we just said, I exalt you, O Lord. I exalt you, O Lord. Well, it's not a song. It's an expression of obedience and faith that exalts the Lord. I still remember as a teenage son who had attitude, all the teenage sons in the house said amen, because we all have it. Sorry, Wade, you're not a teenager no more. I know, you're past that, you're beyond that. But I still remember when I was told to take out the garbage and I had attitude and I was frustrated. I was angry about it. I thought it was dumb. Yeah, the teenage boys think that. They think things are dumb. Why you got to do this? That's dumb. And I remember that discussion, and I don't know if my mom remembers it or not, but I remember when she basically expressed to me that you say that you love me, but you don't show it. If you want to show me that you truly love me, take the garbage out without being asked. All the women in the house said, and all the men said, oh my. Let me tell you why that's so powerful. It's powerful because it's an intentional thought. You do not by accident do something without being asked. Guys, men, boys. Jacob, you're the man. Good job. He's like, shout it out. Why is it such a big deal? Because we have to think about it intentionally. And that shows our love. I'm still working on that. I don't have it all figured out. I'm still working at it. I have to have intentional thoughts because they don't happen by chance. They don't happen by accident. And women, you know it. You get it. And you know you're loved when things happen because they were intentional. I exalt you, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. We sing the song and then we go out and we do our thing. We don't even think about them. No, that's not love. That's not exaltation. We need to have intentional thoughts of loving God every day. I'm going to prove my love to you, Lord, by what I do, not just by what I say. Whew. That's not even the message for today. What's going on? It does go along with it, so you'll be all right. We'll be okay. Well, I'm thankful that we can exalt the Lord tomorrow. I exalt you, Lord, even though I put the rangefinder on that bull elk at 73 yards and realize I don't have my shooting experience on this new sight placement. I don't feel confident. I can't take the shot. I'm going to move up, and then it didn't happen. I exalt you, Lord, even though I didn't get to fill my tag. Oh, everybody cry with me. Oh, my heart hurts. Oh, my grandkids are just awesome today. I exalt you, Lord, when I don't fill my tag and I think I should have had it done. Many opportunities missed. But God, you're still good. I love you as much as I did yesterday, and I'll love you even more tomorrow. And I'll show that by what I do, not just by saying things and singing songs. I pray that you understand my heart today and that you're feeling that same inspiration by God. Amen. We got to move on with our service here. What am I supposed to be doing? Probably go over the bulletin real quick. You all got a bulletin? You got one of these? All right. If you don't, just kind of a news bulletin for you. We have distributed, because of tremendous numbers of hours of hard work by Tina, we have an app that's getting close to ready to be launched. Right? It's getting there. Some of the leadership got the app already, and we're like, this is awesome. So it's happening soon. I don't know when, because there's lots of bugs that got to get worked out. But you won't even need a bulletin pretty soon, because we're going to have such awesome apps going on with your smartphones. How many don't have smartphones? Go ahead. Don't be shy. One. I was out hunting with these guys, relatives of Justin's, and they're all flipping over these flip phones. I'm like, they still make those things? And, oh, yeah, these are great. So anyway, but they couldn't figure out how to make it take pictures. It was just great. Anyway, bulletin is here. We'll keep making bulletins, don't worry. But we're going to have other ways of getting information to you, and I hope that you'll take advantage of it when it comes. We do have a board meeting that coming up this week. We got See You at Pole this week. Merge Youth Night this Wednesday night here with other groups coming together. Man, invite your friends, teens, young people. It's going to be a combined group. Middle school and high school will be together on that. So let's have a big bash together for that good night. We got Wise Guys going on. Lots of smart stuff happening over at CC's. Ladies Coffee Road Trip. That sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? Who's driving for that? Do we have to have a special anointing over that? No. No, I'm just, ooh, I didn't say that out loud. Communion is coming up next week in Financial Peace University. You got to get on this. If you haven't been to Financial Peace University, you need to check it out. You have a certain period of time to try it without having to pay, and then, of course, then you'll pay for that. But Shane Bishop has been approved and certified, and he's excited, and we're going to see those classes going really soon. So pay attention to all that stuff. So there you go. That's your announcements for today. Anything else happening? I hear footsteps. Oh, there's where I heard footsteps.
I don't feel
good. Okay. You don't feel good?
No, I don't.
What's wrong? Why don't you feel good?
I don't know, but I have this mask to catch anything that comes up so I can have it again.
You want it twice?
Yeah.
You don't want it to get out of your body?
All this healthy food, and I don't want to waste it.
You ate healthy food?
Oh, I got lots of healthy food.
Okay. Like?
I got peaches.
Okay, peaches.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of unhealthy stuff in this.
I got apples.
Okay. Oh. Apple. These are one of my favorites, by the way. They're really, really sugary. I can keep this one? Ooh, you don't have apples anymore.
He can't.
I got caramel.
Caramel is not healthy. Caramel is not healthy.
Yeah, it is. It's got milk. See? And I got this. This has milk, too, so I got my dairy, too. But, man, all this healthy food doesn't sit so good on my tummy.
I think he took Detective Trench's role of eating just candy.
No.
I'm amazed you're not turning green.
I even got some sour stuff.
Ooh, lemon pie.
The sweetness of the apples and the peaches. I got some lemon. Let's see what else.
I think
more of that.
We have someone in the house that could help you with your health and nutrition needs. Where is she sitting at? There's Brittany over there. You need to talk to Brittany. She's got it figured out.
Brittany, you got
to
help me because this healthy stuff is killing me. I got to go back to my Twinkies and Zingers. I got to go back to the good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I got to go back to the good stuff. So what do we got to do here, boss? Because I'm not feeling good.
Well, why don't we hear our Bible story today about the woman who was sick for 12 years?
Oh, I feel like I've been sick for 12 minutes. It's terrible.
Wow.
That's terrible.
Sounds like something you ate.
Yeah.
Sugar. We should have the rule, no sugar.
That's why I got the lemon.
That's sugar.
That's sour.
That's still sugar.
That's sugar. That's sour. I did that on purpose.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go before I explode and I have to enjoy the leftovers.
Kids, if he gets sick, you get to clean the mess up.
Oh, boy.
Thank you for volunteering.
All right,
kids, head down.
All right, kiddos, good luck with that. You know, it does say in the Bible, don't muzzle the ox as he treads out the corn. So,
this ox is really sick.
All right. I think he needs a little training there, Brittany. I don't know. Well, while they're doing that, kids are dismissed. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 will begin with verse 7 and we'll read through verse 18 for our text. Now, if the ministry of death, well, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? That's pretty cool stuff right there, by the way. Speaking of the Old Testament law, when the commandments were given, and by the way, there was a lot more than just the ten. If you have not read the Old Testament and all the commandments that were given about the law, you're missing out. But there's a lot of details about what we got to do in order to appease God with the law. Well, if that was going to bring glory, it says in verse 8, will not the ministry of the Spirit, which is what Jesus brought to us, have even more glory? Verse 9, for if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, The ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. Isn't that cool? Have you ever seen a light that was shining and you thought, ooh, well, that light's kind of bright. And then somebody flips on one of these super bright things, these LED, you know, like amazing lights that blind you kind of lights, and suddenly that little light's no longer. You can't even see it. That's what it's saying. Verse 11, for if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, or read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Now, this is a play on words. In the synagogue, when somebody would read from the Old Testament, they had this tradition of doing what Moses did and put the veil on. It was somehow considered to be a holy thing. And so they would put a veil over their face while they read from the Old Testament law. And the word is telling us not only is that happening, but it's also a spiritual veil that's over them. Their minds had been hardened. Only through Christ is it taken away, is the way verse 14 ends. Verse 15, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Awesome. Now, the Spirit, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We actually have a song that says that when we sing that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's a great song. What does that even mean, though? It says, verse 18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that we have an ability to comprehend and to understand your word, to be able to put it into our hearts and our minds, to get a picture of what you're trying to say. We're able to consider the Old Testament. We're able to consider the law and what it represented, the glory that shone around it and how Moses was affected by it. But even more so today, through your coming and through your Holy Spirit who is present with us, we too have a glory that shines in us and through us. May we grasp the importance of this as we live our lives to serve and honor you. And may we be the people with unveiled faces to shine in this world that is dark. We ask, Lord God, that you will encourage us in our faith, in our walk with you, and that you will inspire us, anoint us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. May I speak your words, Lord? I don't want to speak mine. Help me to say what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. There are places in the Bible that reveal a very powerful truth. We are called to be a city on a hill, is one of the terms that is referred to for the people of God. A city on a hill. How many times have you traveled throughout this region or any other region, and you've come up upon a city at night, and there's a overcast, clouded sky, and you can see the glow of the town or the city long before you get there? It's just glowing and reflecting back from the clouds down, and it's like, whoa, what's over there? And that's the way you should be in this world. That people should see the glow of God upon you, that as they approach your dwelling, as they approach your life, as you approach their life, there's this glow that's happening, and they're like, whoa, what's going on with that? We are to be that city on a hill. You cannot hide a city that's lit up. There was one region, one place around the Sea of Galilee, which is actually a lake. They'll correct you if you call it the sea, if you go to Israel. Is this the Sea of Galilee? Well, it's not really the sea, it's the Lake of Galilee. But anyway, we call it what we do. And there's this lake that's only so many miles wide. I think it's 9 miles at the farthest width. And then I think it's like 14 or 15 miles long, something like that. Tina and I had the privilege to actually take a boat across that. But we sat along the Mount of Olives, or not the Mount of Olives, we sat at the Mount of Beatitudes where Jesus gave that great message. And we were able to look across and see the remains and even the pathway up to the city on a hill that Jesus actually referred to. We sat there and we could look across the lake and see exactly where that city used to be. There's no possible way it could be hidden. If it had lights on at night, it was there, it was visible. And Jesus more than likely turned to his disciples and said, "A city on a hill cannot be hidden." And he pointed that out and says, "That's what you need to be. We need to be the salt of the earth," is another phrase that is referred to. And in that day and age, salt was more useful for preserving things than it was for making them more salty or spicy for the food. They didn't have refrigerators. Who'd have thought? They didn't have freezers. They had holes in the ground, cisterns. They had things like that. But one of the things they would do to preserve meat from rotting is to salt them down big time. And if the salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? What is it good and useful for? Well, it's no longer going to keep the meat from rotting. If you lose your saltiness in this world, guess what? The city around you is going to rot. It's going to lose its ability to be preserved and kept from decay. That's what Jesus was referring to. Not be spicy and tasty. No, preserve what is good. Because if you lose your saltiness, what are you good for? You are basically to be trampled on by men. What is that? That's pavement, people. You're going to be good for filling potholes. Because that's what they did with the salt that no longer had its value of preserving the food. They took that pile of salt that was no longer good for anything else except to be put in the potholes of the roads of life. Are you going to be a pothole filler or are you going to preserve what is good? How does that relate to what we're speaking of today? You are to be a person that reflects the glory of God with an unveiled face. We don't want to see any more undercover Christians. This is not 007 time. You're not a secret spy working your way into the enemy's territory. No, you are a light shining in a dark place. You're going to be noticed. You're going to be recognized for who you are and what you stand for. You are a representative of Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed to shine in the glory of God. Why do we hide away? I can't tell you how many times I've seen this happen where young people especially, they come to a gathering and they realize, oh my goodness, what are you doing here? Well, I go to this church and it's our youth group thing and you know, and I kind of go to youth group and you go to youth group too? Well, I go to youth group and they're like shocked and wowed, like, wow, so you mean you know about Jesus then? That happens with young people all the time because there's like, I don't want to tell anybody I love Jesus. Why not? But you know what's even sadder, young people? We do it as adults too. We go to work, we punch in, we do our jobs. We make fried foods. I don't know. Whatever we do for jobs. You make food for people in school, right? Do they know, because of the glory of God that shines through you, that you represent Jesus Christ? And if the question is, I don't know or no, then we better fix that problem. Take the veil off. Amen. Many people, because of fear, have been guilty of putting a veil over the glory of God. You think for some reason that it's some kind of a law-breaking deal if you share your faith at work, or if you share that you love Jesus at school, or if somehow they find out you're a Christian and that you actually believe in God. I mean, God forbid, right? No. God wants you to share your faith. He wants you to represent Him well, no matter where you are. Can you read your Bible? Can you take it to school? Can you take it to work? Yes, 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 and yes. Can I come in there and preach a sermon? Probably not. But you have every right to share your faith anywhere you go. You have a constitutional right because of separation of church and state. Did you know that separation of church and state is not about you can't share your faith? It means the government can't tell you what you should believe. That's what it means. Do your history. Understand the background of where we come and realize that we have the freedom to share our faith. We are not going to be silent and not hidden. We are going to share lovingly that we know the one true God. Because we're going to take the veil off and let his glory shine through. What does that mean? That means they don't see a judgmental, narrow-minded person that hates non-believers. That's not what they see when they see you, because that's not what a believer is. That might be a traditionalist, that might be a religious person, but that's not Jesus Christ. What do they see when they see you? They see someone that loves you in spite of your weaknesses. They see someone that loves you no matter what you do. Through all the mistakes and all the wonderful successes, you are loved by the person who knows Jesus Christ. You cannot offend a true believer in Jesus Christ. And yet, some of the most offended people I know are Christians. That should not be. How can you be offended if you're dead? I'm serious. If your, say your name, everybody say your name, 1, 2, 3, Kevin. Well, let's try that again. That was pretty quick. Everybody say your name, 1, 2, 3, Kevin. Okay, good job. You are dead. It's Jesus Christ who is alive in you. Now, you can hurt my feelings. You can make me feel really, really bad. You can actually make me a little bit on the angry side. I'm very human, but you cannot offend me. That means this. I do not want you to hurt the way you just hurt me. I will never want you to hurt the way you just hurt me. If I want you to hurt the way you just hurt me, now I'm offended. But if your desire is to see that person get their just reward for the terrible thing they just did, you're offended. You better ask for forgiveness. What did Jesus say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? We are here to reflect the glory of God, the love of God. We are here to show the people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through him. It's not about heaven. It's about a relationship with the living God. Let's quit presenting heaven to people, and let's talk about the living God of who we know and love and have a relationship with. That's where it's at. Yeah, heaven sounds like a good place to be, but do you realize he is here right now? Why are we waiting for heaven when his glory is now? When you can know him now, when we can share that love now. Let's not look for the future of the blessing. Let's experience it today in his glory, and let's shine as he shines through us. Remove the veil. It's time to quit hiding from this world. How do I know we've been hiding? Because I see this world. This country is in shambles right now. What is going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. The church has been silent for far too long. That's what's going on. We have been hiding away in our little circle groups of studies and church, and have forgotten that we are to be a part of this world in loving them to Jesus Christ. Now, people are not going to submit and follow God simply because we share our love, simply because we represent Christ. But they should have the opportunity to choose. Don't deny them that. Let's look at Moses for just a little bit. Exodus. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. Kind of a side note, I don't know how many times I have seen people on television interviewed, and my spirit just resonates with that person. And they're a famous person. It could be a sports athlete, it could be an actor, it could be something else. And I'm like, whoa, there's something about them. And I look them up right away. I put their name in, and I put faith. And 9 times out of 10, I find out that they're born-again believers. And I'm like, whoo, cool. Why is that? How did I know this? Because of the discerning of spirits and that relationship we have with the living God and the glory of God that shines through their life. And you have seen it happen too. You've come across complete strangers in Walmart and knew immediately they're believers. It happens because the glory of God is shining in their life. I pray that people see you in that same way. Amen? All right, verse 29. Let's get there. I've got to slide up a little bit. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he had come down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Isn't that cool? He's like walking down like, oh yeah, just another day. No, he was probably like, whoa, wow, I just saw God. And he, of course, I only saw his heel, his backside. Never mind. I digress. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Do you blame them? I'm like, whoa, what's that light coming down from the mountain? Oh, that's nothing. That's just Moses. Weird. Okay, this isn't good. I think he might have nuclear things going on. He's got radiation issues. Moses called to them, and Aaron and the leaders of the congregation returned to him. I love that part. That means like, Moses, oh, they're running away. Come on over, Aaron. What are you doing, brother? Come on. Bring the leaders. Okay, here we come. So they returned to him, and Moses talked with them. That's cool. After all the people of Israel came near, he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai, and when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, in the tabernacle, by the way, he would remove the veil until he came out. So he'd go in, speak with God without the veil, and when he came out, he told the people of Israel what was commanded, but he put the veil on. The people could not stand the sight of him. They were afraid. Verse 35, people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. Why? Because they were afraid. Our world, our communities, our country, our state is telling the church to put a veil on the glory of God. No. I will not. There is a veil over the heart of man today. There was a veil over the hearts of the people in Moses' day. And the veil still stands. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 and also verse 15. Their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. Because only through Christ is it taken away. You can be as religious as the next person could possibly be, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you still have a veil over your heart. And that's what was happening with that people in that day. If you go to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4, it says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There is a veil over the lost souls of our world, and they cannot comprehend the things of God. They cannot understand that Jesus Christ is alive and well today, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. Those who are perishing, those who are lost, cannot grasp that truth, but they can see you and your love for them. They can see you and your love for God. And it can happen, and it has. I think of one particular instance where someone who had become a friend, who was a professing atheist, had some difficult challenges she was going through. And what does she do? She called to speak with a couple of people, my wife and I, and basically said, "I don't believe in God, but I know you do. Would you pray for me?" It's almost like, well, just in case I'm wrong, would you put in a good prayer? And what did we say? Absolutely. Of course we will. I don't know if any good came from that. But they knew who to turn to. Will the people of this world who are veiled with the truth of who Jesus Christ is and God's love, will they look to you and say, "Well, I don't know if I believe the way you do, but I do know that you're real. I do know that you have genuine faith because you really do love me. You really do care about me, even though we don't agree on anything other than how we do our jobs or how we work in school or how we can get along on the field or how we can do this or that or the other thing. When it comes to politics, when it comes to faith, when it comes to where did this world even come from, we don't agree. But I do know this, you love me in spite of that. And I respect that. Does the glory of God shine in you in such a way that the lost of the lost will look to you when things are breaking down and falling apart? I pray that that is you. I pray that that is me. Christ removes the veil. Look with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The glory of God shined where? Through Jesus Christ. He is the Word who became flesh. The light shined in the darkness, it says in verse 5, and the darkness has not overcome it. Guess what? Darkness never wins against light. Never. Even the tiniest little spark is going to shine in darkness. And of course, the brightest light will blind your eyes if you look right at it. Darkness never wins. Light wins. Jump ahead to chapter 3. Verse 17 through 21. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now, a lot of people are like, really? Are you sure? I mean, isn't that why he came? No, he didn't come to condemn us. But in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him, verse 18 says, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. The condemnation's already here. Why? Because of that law that we just read about in our text, the one which brought death, the one that revealed we're all sinners that need a Savior. We're all falling short. None of us are good. We're all terrible, evil, rotten people. We're called filthy rags. You're not good. I'm not good. None of us are good except the one who came, the Word who was now flesh, who lived among us. We've seen his glory. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than light because their works were evil. Where does the greatest amount of evil take place in our world today? It takes place at night in dark places. That is not a coincidence. It's by design. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. I can't remember what the situation was, but I was in this setting. Someone comes in and flipped on the light. And someone, turn that light off. It was like, what are you doing? You're shining light on our sin. I can't remember where I was. It was I just about busted out full on laughter. I had to go to the bathroom one day, like the first year we moved here, and I was at a restaurant, and they have a gambling place in their restaurant. It seems like a lot of them do that. I don't quite get that Montana thing. I'm still working on figuring that out. But anyway, I had to go to the bathroom, right? So I walk into this room. The bathroom's through here. I walk in, and I'm like, whoa, where am I going? I'm looking around, and I see the neon light glowing. Oh, there's the bathroom sign. What's going on in here? I hear all these slot machines. Everybody's doing their thing. Middle of the day, and it's pitch black. I'm like, what? If you're going to gamble, be proud of it. Turn the light on. You know, see what you're doing. Find your change. I don't know. I don't. Why are the lights off? I need to use the bathroom. But they don't want the lights on, because you will be exposed. Everyone, verse 21, whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Wow. Here's the cool thing about the light exposing darkness. I believe it's like our lives are a bunch of cameras, the old 35 millimeter cameras that take pictures. Remember those things back in the day? I think they're antiques now, but you know, they're cool. And you can take that roll of film, and if you take that roll of film, if you want to really totally freak somebody out, take a roll of film and then go bloop, and just pull them right out of that little box thing or whatever that cylinder is. Is it a cartridge? Is that what they call it? Okay, film cartridge. Just bloop, zip it out there like that, right in full broad daylight, and you're going to freak that person out. Whoa, you can't do that. You just totally exposed all my pictures. And what happened to every picture? It got erased. Well, guess what? Your life is full of sin. Your whole life has just been full of sinning. It's been snap, snap, picture, 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 picture. You're not hiding anything. But you come to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the truth, who can erase your sin. He exposes you. He exposes you from your darkness and the roll of film of your life of sinning. He just goes, all right, people, whoop, and he zips that thing out of there. Boom, it's all gone. It's erased, forgiven. Isn't that cool how you can see that? That understanding of the light and the darkness. We all want darkness. Oh, don't show my sin. But in order for me to be forgiven, in order for me to be truly erased of all that sin, I need to expose myself to the light and let it be taken from me. The world is afraid of God's light. They're afraid of you because you glow with his glory. But do not be shunned. Do not be silenced. Do not put the veil on. If you truly love this people, this neighbor, this family, these people that don't know Jesus Christ, you will continually love them and shine with the light of God. Don't hide. Don't be ashamed. The ministry of the Spirit is far more glorious than that of the Old Testament. We saw that in our text. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is freedom, not bondage. We are going to be set free from bondage in order to come into freedom. Now, that doesn't mean freedom to do what we want, right? We're serving one of two masters. We're either serving the master which leads us to eternal damnation, or we're going to serve the master who leads us to eternal salvation. And I want to follow the one that brings me to that place of salvation and love him with my whole heart. Moses wore a veil. Christ removed the veil. And now we all reflect the glory of God. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 6. beginning there through verse 11. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. What does that even mean? Always carrying around us the death of Jesus? What is that? Well, do you remember Jesus saying these things? If you want to follow me, you must do what? Take up your cross daily. That's what we're saying. Sacrificial living. It's not about me. It's about you, Lord. I live to serve you. You are more important than me, and it's more important for me to follow you and serve you and love you, whether I get my elk or not. Oh, that hurt. Whoa. Whew. It was a painful day that day. Whew. I almost had a chance. Do you base your faith on circumstance, or do you base it on your choice? Intentionally saying, "I serve you, Lord," regardless. And so that's the sacrificial part, the death of Jesus, but it means we also will reveal his life. Because of our sacrificial living, the glory of God's love shines through. You'll have someone come to you and say, "I don't know what it is about you, but there's something. I know what you've been through, and yet this is what I see." What is that? What is it I see in you? Well, let me tell you. I love and serve God with my whole heart. I have been found guilty of sin, but forgiven through Jesus Christ. He loves you the same way he loves me. Would you like to know his love? Would you like to know the same grace I've been given? Because I sure didn't deserve it. Would you like to know what it means to have peace? To have joy that doesn't make any sense at all? Would you like to know that? Because I would love to share that with you. Take the veil off and allow for God's love to truly shine in you. Don't be reacting to circumstances. I want to ask you some fairly intimate, specific question. Don't answer this. But I want to know, how do you react when your waitress or your waiter now, we have to change that terminology, I think. I don't know why. But when the waiter gets your order wrong, how do you react? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. But ask yourself, how do you react? I want to ask you this. You're driving through town. Someone cuts you off. Just about cause a wreck. They were definitely in the wrong. Matter of fact, they were dipsticks. That's my favorite term when I get angry about things like that. You dipstick. Did you see that dipstick? I don't even know what that's supposed to be, but it's bad. I blame my dad for that. He might watch. I don't know. It's your fault, Dad. And then I go into the store, and there that person is. How do I respond to that? You dipstick, do you know what you just did? What did you call me? I called you a dipstick. What does that mean? I have no idea, but it's bad. Is that what you're going to do? Oh, by the way, I love Jesus. Or do you say, "Hey, man, you know, I'm sorry. I got angry when you cut me off like that, but you know what? It's all good. We're good. Can I get the app? Hey, I'll buy your groceries. Hey, how about that?" How do you respond when circumstances slap you in the face? Because they will. And the people are watching. You don't think they're watching? They are. They are. If you have already said, and you've let the cat out of the bag, and you said, "I'm a believer in Jesus Christ," you better live it. Oh boy, I said that kind of aggressive-like. Because they are watching. They want to know. They aren't asking, are you genuine? That's no longer the question, by the way. If you say you're a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of him, you've been born again, and they're going to watch you, and they're not going to ask, are you for real? They're asking, is he real? That first question is no longer asked. Because they're questioning whether God even exists, let alone if you actually love the God you say you serve. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is if he is real and you are supposedly born again, then you would live the life. And if you don't live the life, he must not be real. That's the verdict. That's what's on the line. If you cannot represent him as you ought, then you are not just maligning your name, you're maligning whether he even exists in this world. And that's where our society is today. They've given up hope. Because too many times they hear people say, I'm a believer, that doesn't live the life. That the veil has been over the face. And they don't even think there's any Christians around anymore. Well, they are around. It's time to remove the veil. We are to reflect the glory of God. The veil has been removed through Jesus Christ. We are continually being transformed into his likeness according to our text. Just as by the Spirit the veil has been removed, by his Spirit we shall shine with the light of his glory. God's love shines in your heart. Allow his love to shine on others. Don't be ashamed to love people. I told you a while back, I met a complete stranger going to the bank. I'm standing in the entryway because they're still locked. They're not open. And this guy walks in and we're talking and he's about this concert he's going to. He said something about the church, about he had been hurt by the church. And I said, man, I love you. And then I thought, whoa, what did I just say? And he kind of looked at me kind of odd-like, and I honestly don't know what he was thinking. Because it's not very often a complete stranger man says, I love you, to another man. But I did. It just happened. And here's the strangest part of it all. I meant it. I love you. And I realized when I said the words, it wasn't me saying it at all. It was the Spirit of God through me. And I meant it, and it was real. And he just kind of looked at me like, okay, weirdo. I mean, he gave me the weirdo look. All right, man, cool. You live your life, I'll live mine. I got my choice, you got yours. You know what I mean? I mean, he probably thought I was going on the gay side of life, and it wasn't that at all. And I hope he immediately understood the difference. But I put myself out there, and I would do it again. Any day of the week, any time, any opportunity. Because the Spirit of God loves people. Will you reflect his glory? Will you choose to reflect his love? I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care where you want to go with politics. I don't care about all these things and these discussions and these debates and your arguments. Love people. Don't be angry if they don't see things the way you see things. You know, we have such division in our politics today, and it's hate, 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 hate. And I would love to be able to say to you, oh, it's always the other side that hates this side. No, it's not. It's both sides hating each other. Shame on us. We can do better than that. Second Corinthians 4, verse 6, it said, let light shine out of darkness. It has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Will we shine? It's time to remove the veil and love people. Show his glory. Extend grace, not judgment. Forgiveness. Embrace the people. I know we can't do it with the COVID thing going on as specifically, or at least we're not supposed to. But at least in a spiritual way, somehow embrace the people around you. And lead them to that place of saying, I want to know what it is that's going on here. I want to understand why you shine when everybody else is dark. I want to know why you can smile even when I'm mean and ornery at you and I cut you down and I make you supposedly feel like trash. You're just like, hey, I love you, man. Why is that? Because of the love of God shining in my life. I pray that that's your story. Would you stand with me as we close? Remove the veil. Remove the veil that keeps others from seeing the glory of God. We could say other things along with that. I know you're human. I'm human. We react. Bite your tongue. Don't say that thought. Don't put that out there. Ask God for help. Maybe you just want to react because of your humanity, but you can cry out and say, God, help me now. I need your help. I want to react here. I got a right to be angry. I got a right to get back at this person. I know it's not right for me, but I want to. Help me. And he will. Let him shine in your life. Allow the truth of God's love and the light of his salvation to shine through you. I want to say this in closing, the last statement here. The most powerful and convincing Bible that people will ever read in relationship to the gospel is you. You are the most convincing Bible in relationship to the gospel that people will ever read. I pray that they see his true love. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that we can serve you sacrificially, to carry about in us your death, recognizing that we too must die. But in doing so, Lord, we not only carry around with us and in us your death, we also carry around the resurrection, your life, the new life of which you have given us, that we can shine with your love and your joy and your peace in this world. May our glory that shines from you influence our world for the greater good. I ask God that you will bless your children, bless us all, as we remove any veils that cover our love. We ask this in Jesus' name.